Hey
Okay.
everybody, this is Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really. Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to, I don't know, quarantine cast, I guess if you will, coming at you hot and live on a Thursday night, or whenever I decide to get to this and post it, because last week I think I waited to Saturday, so,
Yeah, we're 1 for 3 right now and getting it on Thursdays. First one was the, oh yeah, we were going to start doing that.
Yeah.
And we got a Thursday in, it's like, good start.
Yep.
And then, back at it again.
Got a little busy. A couple things been going on in my life, you know, like, you know, a couple minor things, if you will. But it's funny. Well, if you're tuning in, hello and welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. Hello out there. That's Mike. I am
Howdy.
Scott. And we continue to march on to 300, Berlu, where we officially end the show. So I think we got, what, 12 more to go?
I guess so. Well, technically, you never technically put out episode 1.
Right.
So we got to go to 301 to hit 300.
And then we can finally...
Then we can go.
Shut
then
this thing like, down.
Yeah.
And I can start my new podcast all about yard work. All about yard work podcast. Very, very entertaining.
That's this week on Yard Shenanigans, Yellow Jackets. Mm-hmm. Kill them or love them.
Transfer them or keep. But yeah, so welcome to the show. Glad to be back. Hope we are entertaining you in some ways. I know Monday's episode was definitely a cool one. Mr. Bramblett, the blind painter. So I hope some of you guys got a chance to check out his work, or if you didn't hear the episode, go back one whole big giant episode and check him out. But and then
yeah, it's the internet; it'll always be there.
Yeah, yeah. And then I had a big announcement, and that was that I have a child on the way, in a child loading right now, uploading to the womb, if you will.
Is that why the wife threw you out of your podcast room and put you in another room tonight? It's like, that's the baby's room. Get out of there, Scott.
Well, pretty funny you say that, because this used to be where I podcasted for a couple months when we first moved in. And then, you know, this happened and we were like, well, let's make the bigger room the office, and we'll leave this room for maybe a possible baby's room. And then we kind of started putting furniture in here and was like, well, the other room's got like 2 windows and a bigger closet. So yes, the day after I announced that we have a baby, I have been demoted to the smaller room. I am now in the smaller, but we are making it more of a office. It's got a pretty cool blue that I painted it the other day. So this is where I'm staying.
Well, I don't get it, Scott. Like, babies aren't that big, so, and they don't really like roam around for a couple years. So like, you could keep it in the closet if you want.
I could just, or maybe I could cast right next to the crib, like kind of rock the crib as I'm interviewing Michael Bent again.
Yeah. Oh God, don't have burpees, kid. Don't have burpees. No, no, no.
So I've been, this is the new / old podcast studio, if you will. So
We're going retro tonight.
Yeah, it's all right.
I guess what you're saying.
Berlu, how you hanging in there on quarantine? This has been a month of quarantine for me, so basically today is 1 month.
We're keeping it going. I'm a little sweaty. I literally finished off my workout we do over Zoom and immediately took the computer and ran downstairs to get ready for the podcast tonight. So refresh.
I have no problem if you want to Zoom door. If you want to do that workout during the cast, it's not a problem. Not a problem with me.
So what was it like being president, Mr. Bush?
Yeah, I also just finished my psycho workout in the garage, which is really starting to get old. But, you know, it's what I have to do, I guess, in order to stay not fat during this whole thing.
I like your technical terms of not fat.
Yeah. Well, actually, I always tell my wife I'm going into the garage to defat. That's what I do. That's what I tell her to unfat myself.
The unfattening process.
Exactly.
What's up?
Exactly. Yeah. Unfattening. Yeah.
Well, I can't do it in the garage and all. Mine's stuffed up and all. You know, we just avoided a tornado down here in Georgia yesterday.
I hear that. I heard the South got rocked a little bit. We were supposed to have some tornadoes today. Very windy today. Patio chairs are blown all over the place. So we survived.
Okay. All right. So the point is, whoever really pissed off God really needs to apologize right now. This is getting a tad ridiculous.
I blame Harvey Weinstein.
But he survived it. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like he's still in this cage somewhere, and he survived it. It's like even when you're like, all right, there's a brighter side. Some miserable person on this planet got this disease. It's like, no, you're not supposed to feel better now. He's probably like smiling in his cell, thinking about all the stuff he did, and all. He's like, man, it's good to be alive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, I don't believe in much, man. I'm not. I mean, I guess. You know, I'm not a very religious guy, but I do believe in science a lot. And I really, truly believe that there are ways that the Earth fights back, man. When it's overpopulated, when it's overpolluted, all of a sudden, some virus is created that can clear up pollute. You're seeing all these images of, like, mountain L.A. You're seeing, like, mountains because, like, the smog has, like, kind of gone. You see the Himalayas for the first time in, like, Nepal and India. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, okay, got rid of that environmental fog. And two, it's getting rid of a ton of people. Like, I have this feeling that Earth fights back, man. Call me crazy.
Earth said, I got these lice. Let me put the proverbial mayonnaise on them to keep them away from me.
Correct.
And it's feeling better right now. And then every time somebody pokes their head out, they're like, nope, nope.
No, I think we've been riding high on the hog too long, man. We consume, buy, harvest everything we possibly can from the earth, and I don't know, man. I know that might sound a little like hippie of me, but I don't know. It's just like in nature when like there's too many of a certain animal, the ecosystem has a way of kind of balancing that back out, you know, and the amount of predators goes down, the amount of prey goes up, like. It's always a fine balance, and maybe we've kind of tipped that balance too much.
I think we got to start thinking back to, like, the 1950s World Fairs where we're supposed to have, like, apartments underwater and on the moon and stuff like that. Like, we got to really start thinking about this right now because this whole dry land thing ain't working at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe me and my future son and daughter, maybe we'll pack it up and head to, I don't know, Neptune seems like a good place.
Neptune, what was that, about six planets away?
Yeah, yeah, get ahead of the, you know, before we destroy.
Dad, can we stop at Mars? No! Don't delay us! Dad, I gotta go to the bathroom. I told you we were stopping at Saturn!
Yeah, I don't know, get ahead before we destroy all those planets, you know, start a new civilization just of all pale white guys.
Well, in some people's world, that's the dream world, all pale white people.
Accurate. That is true. And me and my wife will definitely listen. If this kid even comes out with a tan, I know it wasn't my child. So, because wife,
Joshua went outside for 5 minutes and he's not dying right now. You got something to tell me?
Because my wife and I, we are pale. I am more of the pinkish kind of pale, like the Irishy kind of like. As soon as I get hot, or even when I start talking a lot, I start to get pink. And when I'm out in the sun, I get pink to red. And she's more of like the alabastery kind of white, like the white. So there's
extra creamy.
We should probably start buying like a bottle of sunblock per week, like, and just have a stockpile by the time this kid is here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is, for what I understand, the ozone layer's been kind of fixing itself as of late. So,
this is what I'm saying, man. The Earth is fighting back. I told you a couple episodes ago, I also have no track of time, what was on what episode anymore. We got interviews in the tank. We got future interviews. We got a couple nights with multiple interviews coming up. So I have no clue when we said this, but I think that, you know, it's just a way of saying, you know, humans, you're too spoiled. You're too spoiled. You're not appreciative. You used all our resources. You don't care about animals. You don't care about plants. You don't care about the atmosphere. F you. Here's a virus. I do not believe in that whole... I don't think anybody ate a bat and it became that. And I don't think that... I'm not that cynical where I think they're just making viruses in labs to kill everybody.
Maybe we should go like the comic book route and like roll around in toxic waste and just pray we get superpowers that include no corona.
That's fine. You go first. Okay. and I'll report back. You know?
All right. I'm going to Google Georgia toxic waste dump. Ooh, I got to stay inside, Scott. That's a 20-minute drive.
It'd be funny if it just said Florida.
Oh, zinger. Google, you got me again.
Boom. Boom. I don't know, man. What are you like most upset that's canceled? What are you like when you think about it, like what's really bumming you out?
Well, I mean, I would say yesterday, as we're recording this, yesterday was Easter. It kind of bummed me out with the parents being back. Easter is not even like a big holiday by any stretch of the imagination. I can't remember like one like really huge Easter moment. It's not we didn't celebrate it. We were anti it. It was just like, all right, this is the day we get ham after we get we get ham on Sunday because we didn't do it on Friday. But yesterday was kind of a bummer. I mean, we did like a Zoom so we could see each other, my parents, and my brother's not really the tech type, so he wasn't on the conference call. And
it's weird, right?
Kind of weird where it's like, we should be over there. We should be cracking jokes. We should be playing cards or playing a game.
Yep.
Instead, it's like, hey, we see each other. And then even like 5 minutes later, it's just we look at each other. It's like, man, this is so depressing. There's nothing to talk about now.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Like, even with this, even with the cast, right? Like, I'm like, every day I'm like, what should I talk about today? Because like nothing's really really happened, you know? Like it's like, oh, I stayed at home a little bit more, and you know, if I didn't have a kid on the way, that was my big topic for weeks. I was sitting on, you know.
You're going up to your wife, honey, I'm bored, can we make a second one while one's in there, give it company.
I used to have a joke with one of my coworkers because she got pregnant with 3 kids in 3 years, like back to back to back. I said, you just like, I'm pretty convinced like you have a baby behind the baby, like a 4 month pregnancy behind like your 8 month pregnancy. Like you're just like a baby factory.
It's like a little magic act. Like she gives birth and the doctor's like, oh, what's that in your vagina? Oh, wait a minute. What else is in there?
What's behind the curtain? But yeah, I mean, other than us doing that little announcement on Easter, like, Easter was really weird. It was the first time I saw my parents for a month. They came over for, like, they were dropping Easter baskets off to my nieces, my niece and my nephew. And they were like, yeah, give us some. And we sat outside with 4 chairs, like, 10 feet apart from each other and talked for a half hour. And then they left. It was just really weird, man.
Your dad wasn't playing. He got the tape measure out. Dad, they said, I don't care what they said. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this right.
Well, it's like more than anything, like, I don't want to get my parents sick, you know?
Now,
you know, my parents are up in age and, you know, and now opposite, they're coming into a house with a pregnant woman. It's like, you know, you got to be careful and you don't know what to believe anymore and you don't know how bad this is. You don't know if you've had it. You don't know if it's just really bizarre, man.
It's a tough time because we're all guessing. I even like talking to my sister. She brought up how like she was sick, her husband and the kid in November. And then now you're playing a game. Was it Corona? And now we're like, okay, if you get Corona, can you get it a second time? Can you pass it? Is it like a cold that technically never goes away? It's dormant? I mean,
right.
There's so many rules to this thing that we're flat out, we don't know. That's why even like if they said today, guess what? We think we're all good. I'd be very hard pressed to go outside and do something with somebody.
Yeah, I know. And it was funny because I, so one of the reasons I guess I am most bummed, and listen, not like, I'm most bummed about obviously not seeing my family and friends going there, but I feel like, my big thing, I'm really bummed that my Liverpool soccer season is canceled, okay? My little Sunday, okay. Saturday morning tradition, this is the year since 1990 or whatever, that they are in first place by far. They basically need to win three more games and they clinch the title. So it's like in, you know, it's on hiatus basically. And I looked up, I was like curious the other day and I looked up, you know, what the pandemic was doing in England. Cause you don't really get, you know, you don't get too much news and how bad, and it's pretty bad there. They're like saying they're the worst country in Europe right now as far. But I also found out there's a lot of things in England canceled, Berlo, if you want to hear some of the interesting events that I found that were canceled.
Well, go ahead, Scott.
All right, Berlo, I hope you weren't getting your hopes up that the bottle-kicking contest, the Hallaton bottle-kicking contest, has been canceled.
I was fine with when you said bottle-kicking contest. I'm like, all right, the smaller bottle-kicking contests are going to get canceled, obviously, but not the Hallaton.
Not, yeah. Yeah,
not like the those Hallaton. Guys, they always find a way, my friend.
You had $1,000.
So glass bottles?
You had $1,000 on that, right?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Left Foot Kicker Bottle Johnson. He was my boy.
The Hallaton Bottle Kicking Contest is a ferocious 1,000-strong rugby scrum in Leicester, England has been canceled. It's usually Easter Monday. The tradition pits teams from Hallaton against neighboring Medburn to wrestle kegs of beer over the hills back to their respective village. The rules are very simple. There aren't any rules, Chairman Phil Allen told BBC. We do add there is no murder, no gouging, or no riding on horseback with the bottle allowed. It is actually like a very ferocious rugby scrum. The event also involves the parading of a hair pie, which is later scrambled or thrown into the crowd. Mr. Allen urged loyal supporters and fans to stay safe and look forward to next year's event.
Well, wait a minute. What did they throw into the crowd?
A hair pie. H-A-R-E, which I'm assuming is like a
isn't
rabbit
that a
stew.
Dirty phrase? I only know hair pie is one thing, and I don't want to talk about it on this show.
Right. Well, let's see. Hair pie. No, it is a actual pie. Like, it's a recipe you can make. So it's tossed into the crowd, Berlo. Winter dish. So, you can use rabbit if you want. You don't have to.
Oh, H-A-R-E pie. Okay.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
Like, wow, those English are crazy, man. After they kick bottles, man, they go a little too far.
So, Berlo, that's canceled, unfortunately. I know you were also looking for the Worm Charming Championships. You were looking forward to the Worm Charming Championships.
You know, I don't want to go this angle, Scott, but we're doing a lot of dirty things on this show for this English little game we're doing.
Well, the Black Alton International Festival of Worm Charming has been canceled for May 9th. All the worms are diligently practicing social distancing. Therefore, they requested that they do not charm this year. Normally, about 100 teams of three compete to charm the greatest number of worms from their 1 meter square patch of grass, but digging is banned. They are allowed to use their own liquid concoctions to tempt the mini beasts and favorites, including water, beer, gravy, and sugar. People try to simulate the sound of rain to coax the worms out. We had everything from tapping on the ground to musical instruments and a team with mobile phone in each corner of the patch blaring noises. As part of the day, Old Father Worm imparts his knowledge in forms of cheats and school children sing cheers to the worm, Berlo.
I just see this like 94-year-old Englishman with a crown that has like a paper mache worm on it as he bequeaths wisdom to all the young kids and tells them the stories and all. Now, most of them say that back in the 70s. You know how you can't catch flies with vinegar? That's not the case with worms, my friend. No, no, no. Man, I poured half a gallon of balsamic on the ground. Man, I became the worm king for another year.
So no bottle kicking, no worm charming, Burlow. It's like the worst holiday ever. We got some more.
But go ahead. I'm intrigued.
I know you would be big in. I know you were looking forward to this for the last year. Nude Fest, Burlow, is canceled.
Oh, man. I mean, every year I say I'm going to my last one, and then I just fly into the UK, rip off the clothes, and I'm like, Burlow's back, baby!
And then those jail sentences keep coming, and...
Yeah, you really need to get to the event before you do that.
You really need to purchase a ticket.
Yeah. You really should ask for those directions and get there before attempting that.
So... The UK's biggest naturist event, Nude Fest, has been scheduled from July to the chiller month of September. It seems about 500 people bare all at a campsite in Somerset. We are a little bit disappointed because traditionally Nude Fest is in June or July, but we thought the logical step would be to postpone it to September. If people have been holed up for weeks or months and maybe reluctant to travel abroad, they might think, let's take our clothes off and go to Somerset. The week's activities include naked dodgems, I don't know what that is, nude bingo, and clay pigeon shooting in line dance. There's nothing better than shooting guns naked, Burlow.
Yeah, you got to think there was some kind of incident where somebody didn't have the safety on, and they were pointing down, and something happened there. I mean, I guess tactically they could just have, like, a big Zoom conference with everybody naked.
Just twirling their dongs around, you know, yeah. Like just to
to be in the living room, I'm sure somebody can come up with some activity they can do over the internet naked.
But I mean, like, Burlow, I don't have any pants on right now. You wouldn't know. So am I really naked unless I'm with me? I think it's the allure of being in public. I think that's what people do that for.
I mean, that description alone makes me wonder if your local authorities know who you are, or if they're looking for somebody who happens to look fit the description in their records, you know.
Burlow, I know you were looking forward to the World Egg Throwing Championships.
I mean, that's why they call me Eggy Burles, you know.
Chairman Charles... Charles just says Chairman Charles, but World Egg Throwing Championships were supposed to be held on June 28th. He made the devastating decision to cancel his year's show. The main event sees tossers and catchers standing 10 meters apart and moving further and further away after each successful toss. Teams that drop their egg are eliminated. The earliest record egg throwing was took. I don't even know what that says. So, yeah, the egg throwing competition is canceled, bro.
See, that's something I could technically say. They could probably get away with this event. I mean, if you rationally think about it, like, you take the top 10 teams and you keep them 10 meters apart side to side, and okay. Then there are partners are 10 meters apart, and then you just keep going further back. I mean, as long as nobody goes sideways.
But what if they... Maybe they have to Lysol the egg each time before you throw it, so your hands don't touch my hands.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably cheat. I'd probably, instead of Lysol, use Stick'Em, so I can catch my eggs more easily. Right. I'm well known for cheating in egg competitions, unfortunately. That's why I'm banned from the United Kingdom and why I'm not really saddened by this cancellation. But still, I don't think this is a competition where thousands of people are just going to randomly go, they're having the egg competition, I'm getting out of the house for this.
Yeah, but I guess maybe they're canceling it because maybe it made a little bit of money, and now it's just going to make absolutely no money with just the contestants. Maybe it was like an egg festival or something like that. I don't know.
So, like, the UK ESPN was planning on having this huge event, and now it's gone?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what those people do.
Right. I mean, first Liverpool, then the egg championship.
I mean, Burlew, cheese rolling, we talked about. That's canceled. They roll the cheese thing down the hill, try to get it. Canceled. The Maypole Festival, which is very popular, canceled. The Bird Watching Festival, canceled.
And I'm pretty sure the bird's more than 6 feet away. I'm just saying.
I guess it's all the people trying to watch that same bird you got to worry about.
But I mean, they got binoculars. You can get away from other people. You can Lysol your binoculars.
This is my favorite one. The shin-kicking contest was canceled.
Ooh, yeah, I guess you got to be close for that one. That's a one that makes sense. I mean, good job, UK. I applaud you.
The annual shin-kicking contest in Cotswold has been canceled on May 29th. The sport has taken place in Dover's Hill since 1612. See, that's where a lot of these events, like, we don't have them in America because we don't have, like, when humans were really, really stupid back then, they're like, let's kick our shins. We don't have football. Let's kick shit. They were just like, poof, poof, and the woo, kick those shins. Like, we got the late end of human evolution when we made America. Like, we're not that old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But shin kicking, like, just keep it alive since it's been going on since the 1600s.
Let's rationalize it. There's a sport called football that we took, and then we totally changed it. So I just imagine shin kicking in America would be like something where you just like punch somebody in the rear end or something.
No,
like
dude,
that. Where like all of Europe is like, what are you doing? That's not shin kicking. We're like, no, this is American shin kicking.
It's called MMA. So
how long do you think you could last in a shin kicking competition, out of curiosity?
Pretty long.
Think so?
I was one of those weirdos in high school who like only wore shorts and like my legs, I'd be like, how do you feel? Like, I didn't really, like, my legs, I feel like, and I have this, like, Theragun, it's called. It's, like, this massager thing that you, like drill, and, like, my legs, really little feeling down there. I'm kind of like a walking paraplegic.
So, you think you would have, like, you would be, like, the import from America, where they're like, oh, what's this American doing over here? He has no shot. And then, like, you're like, oh, my God. You blew our mind.
Right.
You're like the Neil Armstrong of shin kicking.
You've seen Bloodsport, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically Van Damme.
You're going to be like Armstrong, and they're going to be like saying, no, he puts needles in his legs so he can't feel the shin kicking. And no, that's not true. Wear my yellow ribbon.
Now, I think you will like some of the rules, Burloom. Shin kicking is the highlight of the Olympic Games, quote unquote. It involves competitors kicking each other after stuffing their trousers with straw. Competitors wear white coats representing the traditional shepherd smock, and steel toe caps are banned. No steel toes here. They hold their opponent by the shoulders and repeatedly kick them in an attempt to throw them over. The judge, known as the stickler, decides the winner on the best of the three throws. So you had three shin kicks that he thinks are the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is more of an art. Like, if neither of us fall down, then it's like, which shin kicking followed the rules more properly.
I like the idea of, like, you have to hold each other's shoulders and just send kicks back and forth. I find that hysterical. But, bro, a lot of those...
Is there, like, conversations during this time?
Like, oof. But, bro, I know those events are canceled for you.
Aw, that's a shame. And you could have went over there and they're like, oh, God, Connor's here to kick us in the shins.
Yeah, that's true. He's way taller than I thought. I was supposed to go over one of our plans a while ago was to go over there, I guess, this last Easter week to see Liverpool. We were thinking about going to take a trip. And obviously the whole pregnancy thing came in the way, but it would have been canceled due to this pandemic too. So that trip was doomed.
You still yelled at your wife and blamed her for it, if I recall.
Yeah,
like, I was on the phone line. I was like, Scott, I don't know why you're calling me now. But yeah, okay.
And I still put on old soccer matches and got drunk and yelled songs at her.
Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. I mean, it was awkward because there's nobody else in the house, so you wanted to do the shirtless, spell out the team name, so you put the L out, then you had to go into the shower and wipe it off and put the I. Right. I mean, it was a whole process. Thank God you went to a double O, so that was a lot easier on you near the end.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Especially as those morning beers were kicking in, you know, those 9 a.m. beers. But
yeah, and then you were yelling, kick me in the shin, woman! We'll sell this now!
Yeah. So, Berlew, natural segue. It's guest time. Who we got tonight?
Why don't you keep talking while I bring up my introduction? No. Tonight, we're going to speak with author, speaker, and transformative coach, Kathy Tate. We're going to be chatting with her on her life and founding the Bald Warrior Movement. It's to spread awareness about alopecia and fighting social norms surrounding body image, Scott.
Sounds good, man. Let's get Kathy on the line here. But we're calling you from Australia, huh?
Yeah. It's actually Tuesday morning. I'm in the future.
Oh, nice.
We might need that for the stock markets over here, if you don't mind. You give us a little heads up. So I guess right before we get into your story, I mean, since we have you on, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, with all the wildfires that was going down there, how are things in Australia after this terrible tragedy?
So that's quite a ways away from where I live.
Okay.
Yeah, they seem to have recovered. And I guess that Australia's, like America, is so big that, you know, that was like two states over. So we didn't get affected at all. And I was actually living in New Zealand when that was happening. So they're probably a bit out of the loop on that one.
Gotcha.
It's kind of a regular occurrence over here, though.
So, I mean, diving into your story, it's very interesting. I kind of want to start the story by talking about times before your tragedy. I know very young you got hit with a loss in your family and what happened with getting alopecia. I'm just out of curiosity, do you kind of remember your times before that when you were younger? Was it like very happy, normal life that you had?
Yeah, it was. We lived in New Zealand and we had a big family and we'd have big family Christmases. And you know, there were lots of great things I remember. My sister was sick at the time, but not as bad as she was nearer the end. So there were lots of happy memories around that for sure.
So, I mean, you go through that, you lose your sister, and then a year later, you get diagnosed with alopecia. I mean, kind of explain exactly what that disease is and what you kind of went through on that.
Okay, yeah, so it came out of the blue. So my sister had died and it was almost a year later, and I'm at school one day and the girl sitting next to me just turns to me and said, oh, you've got hair all over the desk and this spot on your head. So it kind of just happened without anybody realizing, and nobody knew what it was, so it started a bit of a parade to doctors and specialists and got a diagnosis. And then another parade trying to find out if we could do anything about it, which you can't really, and you still can't. So it was all a bit of a shock. And I can imagine for my parents it was really tough. They'd just been through years of their eldest daughter having leukemia, and then she died, and now suddenly something was wrong with their next daughter. So it wasn't a fun time for us. And it was very confusing, I think, more than anything.
So now, when this is starting, how old were you now when the alopecia started?
I would have been 9.
Oh, 9. Okay. So you're just a young kid in school, and so at that time, was there a lot known about the disease? Was there enough known about where they could explain it to you? They could do anything for you, or was that just nothing? Right?
No, there wasn't. The doctors just pretty much said, oh, it's stress, and pointed at the death in the family, but didn't really give us a lot to go on because they didn't really know why it happened back then. It was all a bit of a mystery, and that's hence the parade of doctors trying to figure out if anything could be done at it. And we honestly, we tried so many different things. We went to iridologists, trichologists, skin specialists, all sorts of things. I got experimented on by some doctors trying to see if they could make a chemical that would reactivate my hair follicles. It was, there was just not enough known about it at the time. So, and now we know that's actually genetic and there's certain genes that are responsible for it.
So now you're 9 years old, you're a kid, a baby essentially. What was school like for you? What was being around the other kids? How were you looked at as this disease affected you?
Yeah, so in the early years at primary school, it probably wasn't too traumatic because it was just this spot on top of my head. And unless I bent down and the littler kids saw it, nobody really could tell. But as I moved into high school, it got really tough because, teenage boys being teenage boys are assholes and they would give me hell.
Yeah.
They would call me names. 1 year I'd worn a wig to school and they took great delight in pulling that off me and chanting me. And so it wasn't a fun time in high school. Ended up moving away to a different school for a couple of years, and that got much better. The thing about alopecia is the type I had, it grows back and then it falls out again, and it's an unknown cycle. Like, it's not once a year, it's just kind of random. So, you might grow it back and think, oh, awesome, I've beaten it, and then 6 months later it'll fall out again. Which is hard on the psyche. You're stuck in this cycle of, oh my God, it's doing it again. And then this hope that it's not going to come back. I've beaten it. And then it will come back again. You're like, oh fuck.
So
it was kind of tough. Yeah.
As you're growing with this, like, are you feeling uncomfortable around other people? Because I assume, like, the second anybody sees, like, a female with, like, losing hair or something like that, their first thought is, like, cancer or going through chemo or something like that. Are you able to be, like, comfortable in your own skin, either at home or away?
Yeah, so for years I would get that and I would wear wigs to just hide it so I could look like everybody else, pretend I was like everybody else, because the type of alopecia I have is quite, it falls out in patches. So if you don't hide it, you look freaking weird. And, because of the doctors and the bullying and the experiments, I actually grew up believing I was a bit of a freak. And I didn't actually meet anybody else who had alopecia until I was like 18 or 19. And she actually hung herself. So there was this whole, it was just horrid. And there was this whole I'm not normal self-belief going on for a long, long time for me. Until in later years, I realized that it's way more common than people realize, but it's very, very hidden. So nobody talks about it. Nobody exposes it. Everyone just sort of like hides it in the shame. And I think that's come from social norms around hair, and especially females. It's a huge part of their femininity and their beauty. So to not have it was really hard to live with. And there are still millions of women out there today who are hiding it and ashamed of it, and, were either wearing wigs or, when you wear a scarf, people automatically assume that you have cancer. And when I first started going out bald, because over the years my regrowth got less and less until I was in my late 30s, and I just shaved the rest off. I only had about, 7-8% of my hair left by then. So I shaved the rest off. And one of my partners later in life was very supportive of me sort of owning it. And so I started going out bald. And that would be the first thing people would say. Either, do you have cancer? Are you a survivor?
Yeah.
It would be something along the cancer line. So I never wore scarves because that just sort of encouraged that question. And to me, that question was kind of tough because my sister having cancer had started it all. So what I did is I went and tattooed a giant dragon on my head. I thought, if people are going to stare at me, I'm going to make my head a piece of artwork. Right. And then they're going to come and I'll be able to educate them about what alopecia is, because they'll come up and they'll talk to me about it. And yeah, so now the first question I get is, did that hurt?
No, I mean, it tickled, right?
Yeah.
Well, I get, you kind of touched on the question I kind of wanted to ask you. So when did the mindset shift happen for you as far as, okay, I'm, I don't know, victim's the right word. I'm suffering from this disease. You talk about people hiding it. When did the shift happen to you where you just said, okay, I'm going to own this, and I'm going to kind of get on top of this and not be afraid to explain it? When did that shift, or what caused that shift for you?
It was this guy I was with. Like, he was so supportive that it was okay to be different, and taught me that I just had to embrace it because I was making myself miserable, and I realized that he was right. And victim is exactly the right word. You do become a victim to it and how you feel and how society treats you. And you can get really stuck in that. And I was pretty much stuck in it my whole life until around 40, 41. I kind of had this epiphany. Yeah, he's right. Like, I'm putting my happiness in everybody else's hands because I'm so wrapped up in what they think of me. I need to take my power back somehow. And so his support and my own sort of just sucking it up and putting the wig in the cupboard and going, I'm not going to do it anymore. And eventually it got easier to do with practice. But, yeah, the whole lifetime, I think, of having that victim mentality made it much harder for me to step out of it, which is why I speak out now, because, you know, the sooner you take control back, the easier it is.
Hmm. So, out of curiosity, what were you doing for a profession? Were you already in like a speaking or an author role before you like kind of tackled the Bald Warrior movement?
No, I'm actually a management accountant. So I've been working with small business most of my career. As that went on and into my 30s, so, you know, a decade and a half ago, and the cloud became a thing, I sort of took all of them online. So I've worked for myself for about 15 years, and a good majority of that we've serviced all of our clients through the cloud, through cloud software and electronic filing. And so I didn't have a heap of customer contact because they didn't really need that. So most of what I did from home in the last decade. So I used to run like business workshops and things like that. So there was a tiny bit of speaking in a workshop type of way for a little while. But no, nothing like what I'm doing now. And the thought of writing a book was a cool thought, but I didn't think it would ever happen.
Mm. All right, so tell us the Bald Warrior Movement. What exactly is it, and what do you do with it? You have a website, you have a media kit and things like that. Tell us exactly what it is for people who are just hearing this now.
Yeah, so I created the Bald Warrior Movement as sort of a vehicle for me to be able to inspire other people, especially those people with alopecia. So it's about creating awareness of alopecia, because about only 1 or 2 people in 10 know what it is and know that it exists. And then as inspiration for other men and women out there who may not feel like they can step out and say, I have it too. Because I know that as a young person myself, if there had have been somebody like me speaking out, I might not have felt so ostracized and like a freak. So they're the main goals of the movement. And then I also want to start fighting against social norms around body image, because there's so much else out there, not just alopecia, that really hurts us and hurts us in a hide myself kind of way. You know, there's eating disorders, there's scars that disfigure people, there's, you know, there's a taboo around tattoos, especially on the face and head. There's so many things out there that society frowns upon, and I feel like they all need to be dismantled. So that's what the Bald Warrior movement stands for.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Now, when you're doing these like tours and you do speaking engagements, about how often do you get like somebody that kind of like tries to pull you aside and tell them their story, and you get a feel for what they've been going through?
Yeah, that happens all the time. A lot of it online, where they'll message me privately and say, oh my God, this is exactly what I've been through. And, you know, alopecia aside, I've been through domestic violence and toxic relationships and stuff like that. So I get a lot, that's so common. Like almost every other day, somebody's saying, oh my God, this story is so much like mine. You know, which is great. It means that I'm connecting with the people out there, and what I'm saying is familiar to them, so they can see that there's a way out through it for them as well.
So what is the what is the goal going forward with the movement and your talks, your foundation? What is the goal as far as moving forward for you guys?
So we're starting work now on my second book, which is 100 Faces of Alopecia, mm-hmm. and it is going to feature 100 men and women and children from hopefully 20 countries around the world. Nice. That will tell stories of inspiration and feature that, you know, we are out there and we're coming forward and it's okay for you to do too. It's also going to have a directory that people can go to get medical help if they're new to it. And then I've got a whole series of other 100 Faces books planned as well around those body image and social norms. I'm quite determined to dismantle them and make a real difference in society. So that's our main goal, the movement itself. And I speak wherever I can about mindset and self-acceptance and self-love to inspire people, you know, on a big audience scale. So they're really the two main things that I live for. And, you know, in the future, we've sort of got plans around creating a project that will help people in a more specific way too. So that's yet to come.
Awesome.
And you got a Bald Warrior tour bus too. Am I correct in that?
Well, we would like to have a Bald Warrior tour bus. That's a mock-up of one of our ideas around how to reach a wider audience. So we're kind of working on that as a let's do it in the near future. That would require some fairly major corporate sponsorship to get that actually to be a reality. But what we'd like to do is wrap a bus in something really cool, like the image on my Facebook page, and tour across America. I think that would be a phenomenal thing to do, to yeah. tour, create awareness, and to speak along the way. So, yeah, you know, I believe that before you can make things happen, you have to dream them up and put energy to it. So that's what that's about.
Now, do you have a lot of children or mothers of children reach out to you guys, or do you deal with a lot of children that are facing this or experiencing the alopecia symptoms for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's new people that appear in our groups every day and have just got a new heartbreaking story to tell. And I think it can actually be tougher for the mothers or fathers of the kids that suddenly develop it, because they're really confused, they're scared, they don't know what's happening. And to be able to reach out and find other people who have gone through it in our groups is a big comfort to them. The kids themselves probably aren't as phased because they're not as attached to social norms as the parents are. So it's a really interesting, it's an interesting disease in that it hits anybody of any age, any gender or any culture unexpectedly. There's no parameters around it. It's just completely random, which is why I'm making sure that our book crosses, you know, cultural barriers and gets many countries included as we can. And hopefully we'll get translated into different languages so that we can spread the stories across the globe and not just through the English-speaking countries.
Awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful. No, if you get here to America, we'd love to come by and say hi to you. So if people want to find out more about your cause and to help out with it, where should they go?
They can go to creedlinks.com, where we have buttons pointing you in all the directions of our stuff, or you can simply go to Facebook and search for Bald Warrior. One word, we have a couple pages, some groups that support people. And the other search term, of course, is alopecia. There are lots of support groups actually on Facebook. So if you're facing this yourself and you need to, you know, talk to people, they're the two things you should do.
That's awesome. Before we let you go, one other question. I mean, I saw that tattoo on your head, and it is pretty freaking amazing. Out of curiosity, who designed it and what made you go with that design?
So for a couple of years, I was wanting to get my head tattooed. You know, that thought was sort of in the back of my mind. And I moved over to Perth to live near my adult son after my marriage breakdown. And I'd kind of looked for a tattoo artist to do it, to sort of guide me through how to, because, you know, drawing on a skull is a lot different than drawing a flat tattoo. And I just ended up going to this studio in Fremantle in Perth in Western Australia, and talking to this young guy called Eric Dixon. He was about my son's age, so early 20s. And his whole face lit up when I started talking about this dragon I knew was on my head but hadn't come out yet. And he actually designed it for me based on what I wanted. And then the dragon became the basis for the Bald Warrior logo, which is like a tribal dragon. So it took 20 hours with a single needle to tattoo.
Wow.
And, it tickled a lot.
I'm extremely
proud of it. Like, it's kind of my thing, right? So I've inspired other women to go and tattoo their heads as well as a way to take their control back. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's one guarantee in life. You can never look at somebody with a tattoo in their head and call them weak. There is no possibility for that. Kathy, we love talking to you. We love hearing about your story. We wish you good luck, and maybe down the road we can bring you back on and hear what's the latest with you.
Oh, I'd love that, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.
It's just amazing to have opportunities to spread the word.
Kathy Tate.
Ah, that was a nice little strong interview for International Women's Weekend.
Yeah, yeah. And especially by, you know, the time this comes out, it'll be, you know, closer.
Yeah, not that weekend at all. So tune in next year when we release this.
Bro, another thing I think you should do, head tat. What do you think?
I think if I start getting the bald spot up here, no, maybe something like I'll start small, like a little smiley face. So if anybody,
like a filler.
Yeah, so if anybody sees it, they're like, oh, you're going bald. I'm like, no, I'm saying hi to you. And just pointed down at them.
Interesting. All right. So let's say if you, say you had to get a head tattoo for a year. It would go away after a year. Like, you'd be back to normal Berlew. You had to get a head tattoo. What subject matter would you tattoo on your head?
I got it. It'll be like an NFL uniform, so it had the Redskins emblem on both sides, so I'd be like wearing a helmet.
So not only would you tattoo your head with a football helmet, you would sacrifice your head to a horrific franchise like the Redskins.
Well, I mean, if it's going to go away in a year, like most of my dreams with the Redskins, I mean, it just makes sense.
So you just show up to work with your football helmet tattooed on your head.
Well, it would just be the emblem, so it'd be kind of like a helmet. Like, if I was a Steelers fan, it would only be on one side, but since I'm a Redskins fan, it's got to be on both sides.
See, I would go with our show logo. If I'm gonna do it, we might as well get some free promotion out of it.
Yeah, but I got a feeling you would like call me up, Berlew. That was a great interview. You got to tattoo the next episode on your head.
Yeah,
like every week. Oh, you want to look at our library? And I just left my shirt.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean, how much am I getting for this again? Because I still look at the account and it says zero.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the club, pal. But
no, I'm doing better than you. You're paying for this.
That's true. That's true. your bill will be in the mail shortly, just to let you know.
All right.
Five years worth of it. Kathy Tate, everybody. All right, Berlew. Bald warrior.
Do you see yourself, if you ever go bald, putting a big old tattoo on your head?
I don't know, man. I don't know if the Bam Bam Bigelow look is for me. I'm not sure.
I mean, he had the most epic one. I mean, it's hard to beat. Now, I will say Kathy's is pretty awesome.
It is.
But, I mean, how can you beat flames on the top of your head?
You just don't do it. That's how you would beat that. But
like Bam Bam looks at you and he's like, "Touché, good job, sir."
You could have not done that or hand painted them on.
He's like talking to his manager. I didn't know there was options. Wait a minute.
It's Bam Bam's dead, right? Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he unfortunately passed away. I know a little before that he got a little famous. He ran into a burning building and saved some people out there.
Isn't that where he got his head tats?
No. This was pre the tats. There.
Oh,
there was legit fire.
Did that inspire his tats?
No, that was done again after the tats. So he actually got the tats, and then he pretty much said, "I can do this," and he saved people who are in a burning home.
Do you think that maybe his tats caused the fire?
That sounds like a weird 80s movie where like the villains got pumped up with something and their tattoos come to life.
I would watch. That's what I'm saying. I would watch it.
I think that could work. You know, that seems like Stallone when he was on his downhill for a little while in the late right. 80s, early 90s. Like, don't you or my...
Or, oh my God, yeah.
The Mama on the Train, I forget the name of that one. No, that was Danny DeVito, the Mama on the Train one.
Berlew's movies, Don't Shoot or My Mama on the Train.
Tonight we're reviewing a movie in my head. I think this is it, or I screwed a couple of them up.
You mean Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Is there that where you go?
Don't shoot my mom will go on a train.
Well, there was a one with the train with Danny DeVito and I think Billy Crystal, where Danny DeVito killed Billy Crystal's like wife, and Billy Crystal had to kill Danny DeVito's mother.
It's funny because years later, that just sounds like something Frank Reynolds would do. Like, that just sounds like an Always Sunny episode.
Maybe that's just the next season of Sunny, right. And I'm just getting really confused.
Don't shoot or my mom will jump on a train.
Berlew makes up a movie in his head. Tonight on Verbal Shenanigans.
Oh, God. Oh, Berlew, what do you got before we go?
Well, I was kind of thinking you were talking about things I kind of miss right now. So we would be right in the middle of the NASCAR season right now. I'm not sure. Have you seen what they've been doing since they haven't been doing races?
No.
But they've been pushing iRacing. That's basically the internet racing. It got like hugely popular. And they've actually, the last couple weeks, have had professional drivers do the iRacing. And some of these guys have gone out and bought like these big rigs that they put in their living room. Like it's like four screens, so they're surrounded like they're in the car with the real helmet and pedals and everything.
Like the training like things they do?
Yeah, like exactly like that. And they got some decent numbers as in ratings, and they've actually been working some of these teams with their sponsors where iRacing puts the sponsors on their electronic cars, so when they show the footage, it's pretty much the equivalent. Now, it's a great thing, but as funny as it sounds, it's been going for 2 weeks, and it looks like because of this, two drivers are going to lose their actual rides because of this.
Why?
Well, there's two different stories here. We're going to talk first about your favorite driver, Daryl Bubba Wallace. Why don't you, I mean, I know you're big on him. Why don't you tell the fans about Bubba?
Daryl Bubba Wallace, he was, you know, he was part of, he was Rasheed Wallace's twin.
Really?
Yeah. And back in the day when Rasheed was like, you know, he grew 7 foot, Bubba Wallace, you know, he never grew. So there was always resentment. There was always resentment. And Rasheed was like dunking on people. He went to the Trailblazers and Bubba just stayed home. Bubba just stayed home. And one day Bubba was like, you know what? I hate you, Sheed. I hate you, Sheed. I need to run you over. But Rasheed Wallace was so fast that he just he dodged out of the way of his car attempts all the time. So he's like,
that sounds like a plot line from Stop or My Mom Will Shoot You on the Train.
Yeah. So that one day he was like, I need a faster ride. He's like, let me, how can I get a faster ride? Went to NASCAR. And he still didn't hit Sheed yet, but it's coming.
Well, I mean, you got at least one part right. Daryl Bubba Wallace is the only African American in NASCAR right now, as in a driver.
Gotcha.
At least in the three tiers. But so they had a race at Bristol, and the way they have this racing is the drivers get two resets. So if there's a big wreck that happens on the track, you go into the pits, quote-unquote pits, and you just hit the reset button, and your car is brand new, as usual. So that allows you to keep racing. So they had the race at Bristol, which is a real track. It's a short track. It's about half a mile. It's up in Tennessee. And his car got wrecked twice. He used up all his resets in 4 laps.
Okay.
So on lap 7, he got wrecked again. Now, normal NASCAR is if your car is still able to drive, you stay out there.
Okay.
And the reason for that is simply put for in real NASCAR for points. In this situation, it's because, okay, a sponsor literally gave your team money to put their brand out there, and there's a television show, so you would keep racing. You know you're not going to win, but you keep racing.
Now, let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Years ago, we came kind of close to when we had a couple sponsors and whatnot. We had like $200 in the bank. We tried to buy a tire for some guy who, what was his name?
His name was, I'm trying to remember, it was Carl Long.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we tried to buy him a tire, so if we can get a small sticker on a NASCAR, and to me, that still would have been worth it. Now, have we reopened the negotiating table? Could we go to the negotiating table now to get a virtual sticker on the car?
Here's the thing, probably not with Carl Long, because his real driver is pretty good at iRacing, and he actually won the Bristol event.
Wow. All right.
So
full circle.
He's going to get our name on that car will be pretty expensive.
Wow.
But going back to the story, so Bubba after the third rec, rage quit it. And he basically went on Twitter because people are saying, man, I can't believe you did that. And he's laughing it off. It's like, I don't care. It's just a stupid game. I'm not going to go out there and waste my time.
Right.
His sponsor sees this on Twitter and fires him over Twitter.
Wow.
His sponsor, Blue Emu. And his cup team, he drives for Richard Petty. And they don't have a lot of sponsors. So there's a
that's
lot
Tom
of people.
Petty's brother, right?
Yes, yes. Again, same thing. Like Tom had the music career. And yeah,
the big family feud, yep.
Yeah, and Richard's like, screw you, I'm going to go in this fast car.
Last Dance of Mary Jane, driving this car in this fucking lane.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! So that's how Bubba is in trouble. Our second story is a driver by the name of Kyle Larson.
Okay.
Who drives the number 42 car for Chip Ganassi. He kind of did something I would probably say that's a little silly on the next level. So he's into this iRacing, so he does different events. And he went into a big community iRace where it's not only just drivers, it's other people on the internet who's good at these games. And he's trying to talk to one of his people. And he's like, hey, you there? You there? You can't hear me. And then he drops the hard N.
Wow. Really?
Just to find out that everybody's saying, dude, we can hear you. He was on the public radio of the race.
No.
So he's suspended by NASCAR right now.
Yeah, well, you know, rightfully so for that guy. The other guy, you know what? You know, he was mad and whatnot, losing sponsors virtually. That kind of blows. But you're dropping N-bombs. There's not much coming back from that one.
Yeah, fun story about Kyle Larson. He actually went through the diversity program of NASCAR since his grandparents were Japanese. So he goes through the whole program about diversity just to drop a hard N to the world.
That's rough. That's rough, man. That's a tough sell. You know, and it's like, I think as an employee of a company, you know, NASCAR, and the fact that they're trying to give you an opportunity to stay relevant or get a paycheck, I assume these guys are going to get paid to do this, right? I assume they're getting paid by somebody, whether it's NASCAR, whether it's a sponsor, right?
I'm guessing they're getting some sort
something.
Of money when they do the events on TV because, again, sponsors are putting money into this and
right.
There's television ratings and stuff like that. So I assume there's some kind of cash flow coming in on this.
Yeah. So when someone's paying you to do something and they're, you know, you could be sitting home on your ass. Yeah, you can drive fast, but they're trying to keep the brand alive and you're dropping N-bombs. I don't really have any sympathy for him at all. I don't.
Yeah. Side note, one of his major sponsors is McDonald's, so I'm not sure how much they feel thumbs up about the N-word.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Ronald was a notorious racist, but still.
He's also a ginger, so let him go. Let him go. He's got a lot of other problems. But, no, it's interesting to see how the sports world is trying, like, NBA is doing horse and whatnot, which I didn't catch. I think that was last night or whatever. I know hockey's doing. They're doing the NHL whatever virtual, and they're having the announcers of the teams announce like as it's a real game, which is kind of interesting. And then Dana White was trying to do the old MMA thing, and I was so excited. I was going to order the pay per view next week. Just because
he would have got major money. Bro. Yeah. He would have got major flack and major money at the same time.
I don't mind the effort though. Like if everyone's tested, and he was able to do it on this island and whatnot and bring some entertainment. I don't know. I don't mind it. I thought it was kind of ballsy for sure.
What was it? If it was an island,
what was it?
Was it an island? I heard it was, from what I understand, it was a Indian casino.
I heard that too.
He was going to do it, and because government can't enforce laws to Indian tribes, and hence that's what he was.
I heard two things, and I haven't looked it up in like 3 or 4 days, so I don't know if any new information came out, but I heard that it was a, they were an island, and they were going to, it was like Mortal Kombat, like come to our island and have a fight tournament.
They say they got all gone Shang Tsung boat with like a dragon head on it, and they just drove away in the smoke as we as they go to another universe.
I mean, if they were able to do it with the fighter and one coach, say it was a fighter and his coach, his head coach, and maybe a cut man. Maybe there has to be a cut man there. But and no one in the arena and everyone got tested. I don't know. I thought it would have been big for morale as far as like something for people to watch. But then I see the selfish part of it as like a sports fan, like where it's like, well, the sports don't really matter right now. And it's, you know, you're just thinking of yourself, which I could see that too. So, but well, I thought it was really, I was excited, to be honest. I was, because Tony Ferguson Khabib was supposed to happen. And then Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, who's a beast, was supposed to happen after that. And then nothing. So,
yeah, it's a hard sell. I mean, you got to also factor things like you're going to need to have paramedics there because if somebody breaks something, you're going to be there. So you have medical people that's going to be there solely for that. You got to figure the cameramen are involved. And then you just got to, as much as you say you can do all the planning, you always got to remember at some point they're going to test you, but it's not like they're going to lock you in this stadium or whatever.
Yep.
If somebody walks out, happens to go by a corona person, and it starts, I mean, I don't know what the gestation period is for corona. Is it as simple as I get it and then I can be a carrier to other people? Or is it, does it take weeks? I admire him, keep trying, and I know he wanted to do it. The only reason he did not do it was basically the heads of Disney and ESPN, where his pay-per-views go through, literally said,
"Yep,
you are not doing this."
Yep. So once again, Disney ruins everything. God damn it.
Yeah, I'll yell at my wife tonight. You yelled at yours. So I got mine on. Don't worry, I'll conference you in for that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I have a lot of mixed opinions on it. It's like, it's also because it's so, everything is kind of lucid. Like, there's no, like, exact information on anything. Like, you look up one thing, and we as people, we're limited to our information. So, you can get why people are arguing one way or another, because this is what's given to them. But what the real thing is, I have no idea, man.
Yeah, and then you can make a point that wrestling is happening with the same kind of conditions. Like, AEW, WWE, they're still taping shows, and now they're going live, for what I understand, starting tonight. So they're not playing around. I mean, and basically when they shut down the state, these guys are going to another state. Like AEW, they did the shutdown in Florida. So they actually crossed the border to Georgia one day before that state.
Wow.
And they took care of that. And then apparently they have other places they're going to try. Like, one of the things, the wrestler Chris Jericho, he does, like, a cruise ship wrestling event.
Really?
So I could totally see them just grabbing a boat, like, just going out in the middle of the sea and just beating the crap out of each other and taping it for our entertainment.
And I'm so in between, man. I actually hate that everyone, like, politicizes everything. But I'm so, like, people got to get back to work. And you see evidence towards that. You see evidence in, like, they're trying things in, like, Sweden with the whole herd mentality, herd immunity and whatnot. And then you see, like, people got to stay at home and flatten the curve. And are we out of this yet? I don't think we're out of it. And I also don't think we have to, we cannot be shut down for insane amounts of time. Because otherwise, I don't know. I part of me is like, you got to take the people who are at risk. If you have underlying conditions and elderly, they need to stay home. And at some point, people need to go back to work. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not educated enough to know what the answer is.
No, it's an impossible task. As much logic as you can put into it, we don't have any facts behind it to say, okay, did we factor everything? And that's the biggest problem. I don't know what the answer is going to be. Knowing our luck, we're going to pick the wrong one. And I don't know what happens when you pick the wrong one. Does that mean we go double quarantine after that?
My thoughts are we are going to this is going to change life as we know it. Like, our normal is going to be a little bit different after this, man. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's going to get back to normal. Like, it's not like May 1st, we're back to normal, and everyone's shaking hands and giving hugs and going to restaurants and going to grocery stores. I don't think that's how this is going to go, man. I think this effect is going to happen. It's going to be like a five-year process. I'm dead serious. It's going to be a five-year, like, where we're completely forgetting about the coronavirus. And also, what's going to happen is the panic mode for other viruses and other things. Like, oh my God, there's someone sick in Guam, and there's someone sick in South Carolina, and it's different. It's going to cause, like, this instant panic response because of what's happened. Like, should we shut down? And then you're going to get the complete other side. Like, oh my God, we shouldn't shut down because the death rate's not that low, and blah. I don't even know what the deal is. I don't try to be educated enough or make it political or anything because I don't know.
I mean, the scariest thing is, it's like when we had the polio outbreak. I mean, they eventually found like a vaccine for it, but there's nothing about polio where you can confuse it with something else. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, because, like, let's say July, we're saying, okay, we're good.
Right.
When the cold and flus come back in October, we're all going to be looking at each other like, okay, which one is that? Is that what we're used to? Or
right,
is this
right,
the,
right, right.
Is yeah. it our buddy coming back? So it's going to be a guessing game. And I think we're all, unfortunately, going to have our own plans. And who knows how it turns up after that.
I think the only thing you control at this time right now is to make your time at home valuable. Whether you're single, whether you're with your wife, you know, if you and your wife have problems, and trust me, I've been there, not with my current wife, with my ex.
Oh man, can you imagine your time would have been if you...
God, that's a good point. God, as soon as I said that, I'm like, man.
All right, Scott, you can cure the coronavirus, but you have to be quarantined with your ex-wife for 5 years. Yes or no?
Yeah, you're all getting corona, bitches. Like, you know, no way. No way. But, you know, even like your current relationship, everyone's relationship is always work, right? Like, it's always like, let's, whatever you fight about, let's fight about that less. Like, how can we fight about that less? Or whatever you're into, Mike, like, can you pursue it? Can you do it? Or that thing you've been waiting for, can you try it? And I think that's what this time has to be for people. Like, you have to wake up with a purpose. You cannot wake up and sleep on the couch and be like, let's watch TV and go to bed. You have to have something to your day. Like, I know it sounds corny, but every morning I write, like, when I would get up. Today was terrible. I woke up at like 10:30, which, if you know me, I never sleep. So it was really weird. And I was like, I have to write down what I got to do today. Because when I write it down, it makes it more official. Like, got to get that done. When I have no
guidance.
No guidance, no compass. Like, I don't know what to do, and then I start going crazy, and I'm annoying as hell. I'm really annoying when I have nothing to do. So every day I pick like a little project or something to do, and you have to do it. You have to wake up with a purpose. You can wake up with a purpose at home. Trust me. You could organize your closet. You could paint something. You could make something better. You could run. You could workout. You could do push-ups. You can write a novel you've been waiting for. Do a live video. We have. This is not the worst. Humans have had it. We're okay. So just do something.
I would like to add to the list, actually, listen to our shows. That's something that's been kind of missing in our lives.
I believe that happens after the next pandemic. Like, please, when there's nothing when the super left.
AIDS comes out. like Corona and AIDS have a baby, and then just like, oh my God.
When there's literally nothing left, that's when people will listen to our show.
Yeah, that's when we basically kill Magic Johnson and dissect his body to figure out how he cured AIDS on his own the first time.
Exactly. So, bro, it's time to go. It's time to get the hell out of here. We've been, it's been kind of fun. It's almost, the check-ins twice a week are like, to me, it makes the podcast even more fun. So I hope you guys hear that.
It's relaxing.
Exactly. It's like, I haven't seen anyone, so I got to see Berlu. Might as well, But Berlu, what do you got?
To promote tonight, going in with the support local businesses, I'm going to talk about LaBella's Pizzeria. That's in Marietta, Georgia. I've gone there many times. Believe me when I tell you, they make New York style pizza. I literally mean in Georgia, yes, you really have a place where is nice, good, beautiful pizza, golden brown. It's full Italian. Get yourself a chicken parm sandwich, meatballs, subs, garlic knots. I've heard about, everybody's been raving about. They're in the Sandy Plains Junction in Marietta, Georgia. Check them out. They're on the web, labellaspizzeria.net. And yes, they have takeout.
In similar regard, I will promote something up here in the Yankee State or whatever the hell we are. In New Jersey, second half on Main in Denville, New Jersey. Great burgers, great food, great atmosphere. They're really struggling with the whole coronavirus, and they're about a mile and a half from me, and they always deliver. So second half on Main, 5 East Main Street in Denville, New Jersey. Second half on Main. .com. So, another one in the books, guys. So, the best thing you can do is what I say all the time is listen to the podcast and share it with someone. And then, if not, follow all the people that bring the podcast to you. BS Podcast Network, ComingRightUp.org, Denville Radio, whatever. There's a lot of them. But the best thing you can do is leave a review. And that helps us populate the podcast. We got a lot of great reviews lately. So, keep that up. That's it. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Stay safe, people.
Ain't all right. The hardness of my head. Now close your eyes. Spin around. Say, part time. You could find a ain't the way that you want, but it's still alright.